17. It's third down. McNabb shotgun. He takes a bobbled snap. Now he steps up. Are you going to run? Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Visonte Shenko!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined later by Jared Allen, had three sacks against the Detroit Lions, goes back to Kansas City. His position coach, defensive line coach Carl Dunbar, joins us later. Likewise for Chris Dolman, a man who I think should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's going to join the Vikings Ring of Honor when Green Bay comes to town in late October. That's all coming up later on Vikings Live at Winter Park, but per usual, we begin with head coach Leslie Frazier. We head to Arrowhead Stadium this weekend to play the winless Kansas City Chiefs. Arrowhead Stadium, it's just fantastic. I've been there a couple of times, last time in 07, and man, the tailgating scene, the drive in there, the fans in there, even though the team's winless, you know they genuinely love their team.
Oh, no question. I mean, it's one of the toughest venues to come into and get a win in the National Football League, and it's a great atmosphere that they've created there in Kansas City, so much so that a lot of teams in our league, when they fashion their ballparks, they try to come up with something similar to what happens there in Kansas City. So it's a tough environment, and we've got to come away with a win.
And you have some younger players. Now, the 12th overall pick in the draft last year, Christian Ponder's a backup quarterback, so you don't deal with that unless you have to right now. But having veterans on your team in an atmosphere like this, specifically with your quarterback, members on the offensive line, it helps when this crowd gets loud, don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it helps to have veteran players who've been in tough environments and won in tough environments in the past. So that should help us as we go through this process against the Chiefs. But, you know, we've got to make some plays to keep their fans out of the game.
And talking about stadiums and just the experience, you're a head coach in the National Football League. You're one of 32. You've dreamt about this since you started at Trinity. You're 0-3. Can you, is it impossible, or do head coaches get so immersed with what's in front of them that you don't enjoy stadiums and experiences and kind of smell any of the roses? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I've been in so many different stadiums and for so many different reasons. You really don't get caught up in that part of it, you know?
Right.
We're so focused on trying to get our team ready to play that the stadium part of it kind of it's in the secondary.
You're like, let's play at Arrowhead, Lambeau, Mall of America Field, or in the parking lot. Right. Man, I just got to get a win up in here, right?
You got it, brother. That's it.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Through three as head coach, full-time head coach. What challenges, maybe unexpected challenges, have you faced outside of the record that you didn't envision into this season?
Well, I didn't expect, Paul, 3 weeks in a row to have to deal with heart-wrenching losses like the ones we've dealt with. I don't know if you could have scripted some of the ways we've lost these games. So that's been different in making sure that I keep our team together and keep them focused on one game at a time. And but the way, you know, we fell in defeat has been a different type of challenge. But our guys, to their credit, they have not disengaged. I mean, and that'll be evidenced by our game on Sunday.
So from 0-3 this week, and some of the time, it has been part-time psychiatrist as much as full-time X's and O's guy, correct?
No question about it. That's a major part of dealing with the situation that we're currently in. It's not just drawing up more plays and saying, okay, this will work or that'll work, but also making sure that the guys aren't getting to a point where they go, oh, boy, something bad's going to happen. So that's part of my job and our coach's job, to make them understand and help them to understand that, hey, we're going to get it done. Just keep working. Don't panic. We're going to get this thing going.
And you're a very even-keeled individual, very spiritually sound, very kind. But, you know, we've seen some situations with you all the way back to training camp where somebody had to leave the team for whatever the reason, and you made that decision. So you have that to you, too. These conversations, I mean, are they – do you have sit-down, hey, I'd like to chat with you and try to motivate people? Is it try to pull people out of sadness? Or what is it like right now when you have these conversations with these players?
Well, it varies. I mean, there are some guys you need to talk to one-on-one, and there are times you need to talk to an entire group. And, you know, you take that approach with, you know, based on the situation, whatever's necessary. And that's what I've done, and I'll continue to do. And for us, I mean, we're doing a lot of good things. It gets kind of lost in the shuffle. But
isn't it unbelievable?
Yeah, but, you know, we got to come away with that W, and that's what we're talking to our players about. And we're practicing that way. Hopefully this Sunday it'll be the time that'll happen.
And Leslie, from an outsider standpoint, that's what makes it so difficult, is that you just see, you'd love to see, to be able to repeatedly talk about Chris Cook and the wonderful job he did against Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. All those times he was singled. Yeah, he gave up the touchdown, but so have a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, and Everson Griffin standing up, floating around, that was really creative. Yeah. And all the things you're doing in the first half, but geez, just the way, I mean, the way the things have fallen apart in the second halves, the last two games, I would imagine you've never seen anything like that in your life.
No. I've had a couple of people that I really respect in pro football who are coaches and former coaches call and say just that. I mean, so I'm hoping that we'll look back in December, Paul, and say, you know, that time really helped us to get to where we are now. That's what my prayer is. So we'll keep working.
And that's wonderful how the whole tree works, because I ask you, are you part-time psychiatrist, full-time X and O's guy? And you got to sit down, put your hand on somebody's knee, look them in the eyes, motivate them. But people recognize they need to do that for you, too.
No question. No question about it, because some of those losses are tough for the head coach as well. But you got to keep plugging away, and we got to come up with a win. And this will be a great time to get it done.
This might be a dumb question, but when you were defensive coordinator, we knew that the, quote, Tampa 2, end quote, was the base from which our defense worked. How would you define that now? How would you describe what the base defense is now?
We still base our defense out of that cover 2 concept, but we, like in the past, we still have pressures that we use in certain situations, but we still base everything off of cover 2.
Adrian Peterson and E.J. Henderson missed practice yesterday. Any concerns about Kansas City this weekend?
No, they should be fine for the ball game. No concerns.
We touched on it earlier. Leslie Frazier's our guest. Everson Griffin, you know, I'm going to talk to Carl Dunbar here in a little bit, and I'm going to ask him about Everson Griffin and his identity. Comes into the league as a defensive end. You've used him as defensive tackle. Now you get sneaky last week, and he walks around as a linebacker, clearly confusing Matthew Stafford at times. What led to that, and how well did it work?
Well, as you know, we experimented a little bit at the end of training camp with him playing some linebacker. We wanted to get a feel for his movement, and we had this in the back of our minds that he could do what we did on Sunday against Detroit. And once we saw some of the things that he did in training camp and in our last preseason game, we said, you know what, we got to get this package up and ready. And so it's been something we've been working on as a staff, and we finally was able to introduce it against Detroit. It was very effective for us, and it's something we want to, you know, continue to grow.
So now that it's on film, do you have to change it, you know, game by game in the copycat league?
Yeah, you're going to have to do some things a little bit different, you know, add something to it, and we fully expect to do that.
Offensively, it appears catching-wise and run-blocking-wise, Michael Jenkins is off to a wonderful start. Is that fair?
He really is. He's off to a great start. He's become a go-to guy in our offense, and it's something we were hoping would happen, and he's been good for us.
Kyle Rudolph, excellent second half catch in the Lions game, his proudest moment regular season wise in the NFL. What are your thoughts, Leslie, on his 3-game start?
I think he has continued to improve, Paul, over these 3 games, and his confidence is really growing. I mean, evidenced by some of the plays he made in our most recent game against Detroit. It just seems like he's becoming more and more comfortable as an NFL player, and his run after the catch on near sideline really was indicative of how much he's grown as a player. We all knew that he had great hands and could catch anything thrown his way, but to see the run after the catch, I mean, that shows his confidence is really growing.
But it's still very much a growing process, right? I mean, nobody's trying to make him sound like Kellen Winslow Sr., because back in that Tampa game, Rondae Barber crept up and he kind of took a bad angle on him, and Rondae got around him. But Rondae, man, I mean, he's been around forever. And now you look at this catch and the run after the catch, and that's all part of being a rookie.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he's still growing. I mean, there's still going to be some growing pain. Some things aren't going to be as clean as others, and that's part of it. But you can see that he's improving.
The team, to a certain extent, was criticized this week, and you responded to it Wednesday in your press conference about Adrian Peterson and his lack of touches in second halves of games. Sustaining drives, volume of play, it all leads to the playmakers getting a fair opportunity, correct?
No doubt about it. I mean, we want to keep our offense on the field so we can get a rhythm going and hand the ball off to number 28. That's what we're built on. And when we've had good first halves. Look at his numbers in the first half when we converted third downs.
Yeah.
You look at our numbers in the second half on converting third downs, Adrian Peterson is on the bench a lot of times. So it's hard to hand the ball off to him if we're not converting third downs.
Why is Kansas City 0-3?
Well, you talked about it before. I mean, when you minus six in the turnover ratio, it lends itself to not winning in our league. And I'm sure that's something they're talking about. And on the other hand, we want to create more turnovers.
What is their offense like without Jamaal Charles?
Well, he was such a big play guy, both running the football and catching the ball out of the backfield. That's a big loss, and it's probably made them kind of restructure their offense to a degree when you have a void like that from a great player. So it's changed how they approach games with his loss.
Yeah, and with Todd Haley and Bill Muir, their new offensive coordinator, they lose Tony Moyaki into the season. Nice pass catching tight end. Then they lose this guy. Ooh, boy, that's been tough to overcome. Last question for Leslie Frazier on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Tamba Hali, their right outside linebacker. I'm sure they probably move him around. Boy, he gave Jeff back his headaches in that Lions game. Hit Stafford a bunch, but didn't get credited with a sack. Really one of the underrated game-changing pass rushers. Wouldn't you agree?
No question about it. I mean, actually, his game against Detroit inspired our defensive line. They were watching him going, wait a minute, because we were challenging them, watching him. So he's a heck of a player, and you're right. He doesn't get a lot of credit nationally, but I guarantee you the offensive linemen in the league know who he is and know what he's capable of.
Leslie, thank you. Keep all the guys healthy this weekend. Thanks, as usual, for the conversation. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. That interview is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios here at Winter Park. Defensive line coach Carl Dunbar around the corner, Jared Allen around the bottom of the hour, and much more on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
How come?
And welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park throughout the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen. Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. Play the VIP scratch game and you could win a VIP experience, free wings and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and defensive line with defensive line coach Carl Dunbar. Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park, sir.
Glad to be here, Paul.
Sorry about the bad start, but the defensive line did generate some sacks against the Lions. You think it played pretty well?
I think the guys were into the game, and we just have to try to put it together for 60 minutes, Paul.
Jared Allen comes back to Kansas City this weekend. Have you said anything to him about not getting too hyped up or anything?
No, I think it's too early in the week. We're going to try to idle it down a little bit on Friday and Saturday before we get on the airplane. But I think he's looking forward to it. He's been in Minnesota for 4 years, so I think right now he's a Minnesotan.
What's been different about Jared's start this year compared to last year?
Well, I think he just took onus, with not having some guys here on the front who he's been playing with for the last couple of years. A guy suspended, two guys not here.
Yeah.
So he took, I think, more of a leadership role, wanting to make plays. And I think it's paying off for us in the play, but we want to get one on the left side of the column.
When you saw the tape back from the Detroit Lions game and you analyzed the defensive line and met with individuals and stuff, how much did having Kevin Williams back change everything for Jared, even Everson when he was standing up, and Brian Robinson and so on?
I think having Kevin back makes people respect the inside. I know Latroy DeGallion did a great job, but he hasn't really cut his teeth for as being a premier player, and people really respect Kevin more. And I think that helped Jared get on that edge. And they tried to block us with five guys, and it didn't help him.
Generally, Carl, what kind of attention does Kevin Williams get? For instance, last year you look at his final totals and you see a bunch of quarterback hurries, but you only see one sack. But if you watch the games back, he generally has four hands on him, correct?
Yeah, he has a guard. He has a center. If he doesn't have the center, if he's in a three technique, he has the offensive tackle. And sometimes the backs release inside and chip him. I mean, he gets the same kind of respect or notice that Jared gets on the outside.
Brian Robinson is the starting left defensive end, off to quite the nice start. Had a wonderful game against Detroit for the most part, specifically with the pass rushing. Ray Edwards goes to Atlanta. Brian rolls into that job, holds it in training camp. What are your thoughts on him through the first three?
I think it's been great. It's been awesome. He's been here for 4 years, so he's really put in his time. And when you lose players to free agency, the guys behind him have to step up, and I think he's done an awesome job.
Is this a terrific opportunity for Christian Ballard to start his career here? I mean, you have Jared Allen, Kevin Williams, and Christian has position flexibility, so he gets to learn from Kevin Williams from the tackle standpoint, Jared Allen from the defensive end standpoint. What are your thoughts?
I think getting him here in the situation we were in, I was so excited when the fourth round came around and he was still there, and we got him off the board, and he's been doing a great job. He's athletic enough where he could play defensive end, and he's strong and big enough where he can play inside. So those guys have been teaching him a lot, and he's a quick study as a student.
Carl Dunbar, defensive line coach for the Vikings, is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Jared Allen coming up around the corner. Chris Dolman, he'll be on towards the end of the show. Chris Dolman, speaking of defensive linemen, whoo, boy, he changed games, didn't he?
Hey, you'd love to have like four more of those guys. I mean, he still looks like he can play. We saw him yesterday at practice, and he was still fired up about the Vikings.
It's very important to you guys and probably a lot of teams to have guys who can go up and down the line and to have enough depth so that you can rotate, because you guys rotate on that defensive line a lot, don't you?
Well, you have to. I mean, those guys do a lot of stuff. They're big guys who can run, but you don't want to get them worn down. And I think the thing that we've been talking about ever since I've been here, and more so this year, you want the guys fresh in the fourth quarter.
Who is Everson Griffin? I mean, he came into the game as a fourth-round pick from USC as a defensive end. You've played him inside, specifically on third down when Kevin Williams was out. Then lo and behold, we look at him floating around like a linebacker in nickel and or dime.
He's an enigma. I mean, he's a great athlete. He can do so much. And basically, since Brian Robeson has taken over at left end, he's filled Brian's job before he's coming inside and gives a third down push up the middle because he's so athletic. And then he can cover a tight end. He can cover running back. But we just try to give him position flexibility where he can move around and surprise some folks because he's athletic and he's a strong kid. A
couple of comments to go here from Carl Dunbar, defensive line coach. First of all, the matchup this weekend against Kansas City, your guys against their offensive line slash tight end help slash fullback end or running back help. What do you think of the matchup?
I think it's going to be a good one. I mean, these guys, they try to run the ball and they can run the ball, and they did a great job against San Diego getting the ball up and down the field. So I think this is going to be a good test for us to see, you know, where we are right now for stopping the run. I mean, we've had a couple of good games where people didn't want to run the ball, but I think this game, Kansas City is going to really try to run the ball. So we're going to have to earn the right this weekend to rush the passer.
From the business side of it, in closing, to your heart, your son Carmichael is a football player at Prior Lake High School. Tell us about him. Tell us about where he's been, where he is, where he's going, and tell us more about your son. I hear he's quite good.
He's been doing a great job. I think he's surprising some people. We're at a little town in Prior Lake, and I don't know if you get too much notoriety down here, but he's been doing a great job. We went up to Washington this summer, went up to the school, went to LSU. We went to Minnesota,
right.
We've been to Iowa. So we're getting letters from a lot of people, and we're just trying to continue to let him play well. Last year, he scored a 21 on the ACT, so we don't have a problem with grades.
Excellent.
He's a 3.5 student, so he's having a nice time, and they're playing some really good football. And I really like the head coach, Coach Matt Giggenheimer. He does a great job with those guys, keeps them into it. And we got a lot of other good players on the team. But far as Carl, you know, you can pump your chest and beat your chest when you see your son playing some good football.
What position does he play?
He plays defensive tackle.
Excellent.
You know.
So, given you in closing part two, you went to LSU. Pretty good football team, I think, might be number one in the country right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say the way Coach Miles said it, we don't worry about being number one now. We want to be number one at the end of the season.
That's excellent. And I'd like to see you guys get victory number one this weekend.
Thank you very much, Paul, for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Carl. That's Carl Dunbar, defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Hey, Vikings fan.
And welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. As promoted, Jared Allen, defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings, joins us off the Detroit game into the Kansas City game. And Jared, welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry I forgot about it and went home. We have to do this on the phone, otherwise I'd be at Winter Park.
Oh, it's all good, man. You sound, in FM, you sound like Barry White, whether you're on the microphone or on a phone. Hey, the only thing outside of the result and you guys winning in the Detroit game that I missed was you didn't get into a fight with Gosder Sherrilis. What the heck's going on around here?
It's the match of the first quarter. I'm growing up, you know, maturity.
Yeah, I hear you on that, man. Yeah, you. Speaking of Kansas City and arguing and stuff like that, you had some kind of terse words for the previous regime with the Kansas City Chiefs. What went so wrong there for you?
It came down to a trust issue, and some things were promised to me that didn't get followed through on, and just some things were said between me and management in confidence and in the privacy of just kind of two human beings talking that they tried to throw this and so for me it was a trust issue, and you're only going to get told so many times that they're going to take care of you, and then to see the result that they're not. So it was one of those. That was the main issue, and I just didn't appreciate the way they went about it. I put my heart and soul into that organization, and I felt like I deserved better than what they treated than the end result. So.
In that off season, when Rick Spielman went to chasing Carl Peterson around in the off season, trying to concoct this deal, did you have an idea that you were going to get traded?
Yeah, I had a feeling finally they were gonna search that trade option out and try to find a team to get the picks that they wanted, and at that time I was just hoping it would be Minnesota, not Tampa.
Jared, in the game in 2007, you tore the Vikings up. What do you remember about that day?
That was another emotionally high day. I was coming off fresh off a 2-game suspension, and I remember that game vividly. I actually got pulled out of that game for yelling at my coach about a dumb call he made. But I was amped up, ready to play, and it's going to be funny. That was my first game back of the last year I was there, and now I'm coming back for the first time with that team. So
yeah.
It was a good game. It was a well-fought game, and we ended up picking up. And we were 0-2 at that time, and we got a W out of it. So hopefully we can tie and turn, and the Vikings get a W this time.
And, Jared, I remember being there calling the game for your current team, and we were watching you warm up. You were one of the first people out there off that 2-game suspension. And then how hard you were working out and in early in the game, how hard you were playing. And we thought to ourselves, no way can he sustain this for 4 quarters, having missed the first 2 games. You got better as the game got longer.
Yeah, that was a year when I first started turning MMA and stuff like that. So I was coming off basically a 6-week training camp, versus the 4 weeks that we had, because I had an extra 2 weeks. So, I was in great shape, and I've just been trying to carry that through. As I get older, I got to try to keep pushing through. I don't do the early outs anymore just because I decided to start a new routine when I got to Minnesota. I left that in Kansas City, but I'm hoping in the fourth quarter I'll be just as strong as I am in the first.
Sweet game against the Lions. Sorry you didn't win. Tough to believe we didn't win despite 5 sacks, correct?
Yeah, I mean, up front, I thought we played great, and obviously, we got to do more. We got to be more technically and sound, and we can't give up penalties in crucial situations. And we had opportunities to make some big plays, and we got to make those. Being even in the turnover ratio just isn't good enough. Batting a ball down just isn't good enough this year. We got to make those picks, and we got to make big plays on defense and get turnovers.
Speaking of KC, Jared, you haven't caught a TD pass since you left the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you ever lobby for that chance here?
Every week. I'm like, yeah. After the San Diego game, I'm like, you cannot deny my hands. I got the skills. Put me back there.
Yeah, that San Diego game, man. Unfortunately, I blew that call because I saw an athletic white guy covering a running back. And I'm like, it has to be Jared. It has to be Chad Greenway. Oh, no, wait, it's Jared Allen. Holy cow, that was athletic.
I don't post my first defensive touchdown you messed up, and then my pick. But it's all right.
It's unbelievable.
Maybe I'll just have to do something this week so you can get it back.
No, that's why I'm hoping the UFL doesn't fold so there's hope for my future, Jared Allen. Could you be the fill-in long snapper in a pinch here if you had to be and get the job done?
Oh, not a problem. I got, Cole's a very good long snapper, but I have serious skills in that position. I always mess around with them at practice, and no doubt in my mind I could do just fine.
You, as the game was slipping away a little bit, that Lions game, you kind of exploded on the sidelines, motivating guys. What prompted you to do that? What led you to that emotional outburst?
I think just frustration of 3 games in a row of the exact same thing happening in the exact same way. This is the only game, Stafford threw up a couple prayers to Calvin Johnson, and he's a great player. He made some plays. But, you know, I get my message to the guys that this just isn't okay. You know, I didn't want anybody to sit around thinking, all right, it's okay. You know, kind of people try to downplay it to pick their emotions up. And I want everybody to know that this isn't okay. And then we need to do something now to turn it around and fire back. And, you know, we were able to come up with a couple stops at the end of the game, push it overtime. Unfortunately, we didn't get the job done in overtime. So, and that's just kind of been my message all week, is that's not okay. Playing good football in the first half and then just giving it away in the second isn't okay. We need to dominate for four quarters and play up to our abilities. So, you know, we got the guys to do it. You know, we all just got to get on the same page and make this thing happen.
Last comment, Jared. I bet you Kansas City dedicates tight end help to you more than Detroit did. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, probably. Hopefully we can get in the lead again and we can get forced into some one-on-ones and maybe I can get a little more nostalgic if I get a sack out there. And we'll see how the crowd reacts. Huh?
Yep. Jared, thanks a lot for the time. Best of luck this weekend and have a wonderful evening, okay?
I appreciate it. Take care.
Yep, no problem. Jared Allen on Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
The Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen. Happy to be joined by game-changing defensive end Chris Dolman. He's going to join the Minnesota Vikings Ring of Honor in late October. When the Vikings host the Green Bay Packers, and Mr. Dolman joins us now. Chris, Paul Allen, how are you?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. With your run in the National Football League, illustrious as it was, from Minnesota to Atlanta, where you live now, to San Francisco, back to Minnesota, what were some vivid memories you had as a member of the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, I mean, I guess the biggest ones were, you know, how close we were, you know, from Darren Nelson to Steve Jordan to Wade Wilson to Tim Irwin. I mean, the environment was totally different than it is today. We spent a lot of time with each other. We definitely practiced a lot more than players do today. And it was, you know, that camaraderie that you had that really made your team close.
And in the 80s through the 90s, say 85 to 93, your first run here, Chris, what was the player-fan relationship different than it is now?
Well, I don't know what it is now, but we were always close to our fans, and they expected a lot out of us. They knew that you weren't going to win every single game, but as long as you gave the effort, they respected that. And that's the thing that you have to have, you know, I think, you know, in any organization.
What's most memorable, Chris, about your final sack as a member of the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, memory served correctly. It was against Green Bay.
Nice.
Sack, forced fumble. I had two of them that day. They had a little young tackle out there, and I had a big day against him. And also, that's when I went over 150.
Was that 99 with the Vikings or back in 93? Was it against Brett Favre?
Yes, it was, 99.
Wow. How about when Brett came to this team and wore the purple and gold colors, almost got the team to the Super Bowl in 09? What'd you feel about that?
A lot of mixed emotions. I was really I was really sick. I'm like, you know, you know, how could you do it? But you know, it's part of, you know, our league is their league. I'm saying our league, but the league is, you know, is pretty much a transition league, and you know, you do your time, and if you have to move on, you do. And you know, Brett played extremely well here, and I was rooting for us.
Chris Dolman is our guest, joining the Vikings Ring of Honor late October when the Vikings play Brett Favre's former team, the Green Bay Packers, at Mall of America Field. How closely do you follow the league now, Chris? And do you think that it's too complementary to offenses? Is it too easy to pass the ball and move the ball?
Well, I mean, they say it's a passing league. This is a passing league. This is a league where that, you know, you can pretty much put a player in a position where that he's going to get a pass interference. They never call it on offense. Very, very rarely that they do. You know, the rules are set up for offenses to do well. I don't particularly like this brand of football. When they talk about run and shoot, this reminds me of that.
Yeah.
And it's just a situation where that, you know, I grew up playing. I started when I was 8. I retired when I was 38. I grew up playing a certain game. A fumble was a fumble. Everybody knew you dropped the ball. A catch was a catch. you know, ground helping you, or all these little sections of how the play developed. I mean, I think it really takes away. And I'm not saying we need to take away instant replay.
Yeah.
But we've over-officiated the game, I think. And it's not evenly spread across the board. It's make sure you take care of that quarterback, and anybody else is fair game. And it's just unfortunate that we've moved in that position. I would like to see the pendulum move back a little bit, and where that you treat everyone fairly out there on the field. And I tell you what, you know, when you start – treating everybody with the same amount of respect, and there is no added protection for any particular position. And I know punters and, you know, quarterbacks and those kind of guys are at risk, but at certain times. But I mean, you know, you can't tell a man who is running full speed that, hey, you hit him too low, or you hit him too high, or your helmet touched his helmet. It's a contact game. What happens when he crunches down,
right,
or, you know, try to protect himself? So, I mean, you know, we're not playing against bags out there. We're playing against actual moving bodies. So it is somewhat frustrating to watch today.
Chris, excellent points. And Chris Dolman, who joins the Vikings Ring of Honor when we play Green Bay at Mall of America Field, played in the NFL from 85 to 99, started and finished his career with the Minnesota Vikings. The fourth overall pick in the 1985 draft, the Vikings traded backwards, ended up taking Chris Dolman with the fourth overall pick in the 85 draft. And you came right into the league in the year the Chicago Bears, with Leslie Frazier, the current coach, established themselves as one of the best defenses in the NFL. What do you remember about that year?
Shoot, they were good. It was Buddy Ryan. It was the 46 defense.
Yeah,
they would have two guys covering, you know, the wideouts, and everybody else standing on the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
And you literally did not have time to throw the ball. Oof. You literally did not have time to throw the ball. They had more guys coming quicker than you can get the ball out of your hands. And they also were allowed the corners to play a little bit, not bump and run, but you could play a little bit tighter coverage, so that, you know, you weren't getting in a situation where that, you know, if a guy runs a route and he pushes off on you, you know, you're going to get a penalty because he pushed you, the offensive player pushed you. So, you know, that was the big thing. And we went after those guys. I think with that defensive line that they had with Dent and Perry and Hartenstein and McMichaels, we tried to put as much pressure on those guys as, you know, with our front four, you know, Millard and Thomas and Randall and, you know, Doug Martin and myself, we try to equalize that side of the ball, you know, on our side as we play, you know, through that tenure.
And what's also interesting to note about when you came into the league, Chris, in 1985, the illustrious immortality-like career of Bud Grant was finishing. What do you remember about Bud?
Well, I was Bud's last first-round pick, and I was happy to be his last first-round pick because, you know, here we are today, and I'm going into the Ring of Honor with him. So he made a good choice, I guess, in hindsight. But, the conversations that you would have with Coach Grant, they were very simple. I remember one year we just got done playing, and on Mondays we would cover punts. And I'm running down the field, and, I mean, I'm just flying. And he called me over and he said, "That's how you have to play the game."
Yeah.
Every snap. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. And that's how I tried to play.
How about Bud Grant? He'd go to the opposing coach before a game and say, "Don't wait for me at midfield. It's nothing personal. If we win or if we lose, I'm going back to the locker room." You never see that now.
No, because guys are always trying to work on the next job. You know, they're always trying to, "Hey, I know I'm going to get fired. So, you know, can I call you, or how are things going with, you know, in your camp?" Or
yeah,
"We might be looking for a new coordinator," or "We might be looking for this." So, I mean, that's the conversations that they have. "Hey, I'll call you this week. Something you might be interested in."
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the things that are happening today.
That's spectacular, and the game is so specialized this day and age. Chris Dolman is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. What's the given you played outside linebacker and defensive end? How difficult is it to transition from a defensive end, cliched hand in the grass, to a stand-up pass-rushing guy on the outside of a 3-4 defense?
Well, it really got me going doing what I was doing in college, getting after a quarterback. You know, when you're dropping curl to hooks and flats and running with backs up the seams and covering tight ends and all this other stuff, then they say, okay, now you're going to rush the passer. Mm. That is really, really hard because the thing about rushing a passer, there's a rhythm.
Yep.
Okay. It's kind of like, you're watching your favorite boxer fight, then all of a sudden you say, he taps you on the shoulder and say, go get him.
Yep.
it's not going to work. You step in that ring, that guy knocks your head off. So you have to get a certain rhythm about what you're doing out there. And it takes, it could take a series, it could take, two plays, three plays, five plays to sit a guy up so when you come to that long third down situation,
yeah,
you're able to get to him.
Hey,
and Jared did that very well last week.
Yeah, he had three. We still couldn't get the money, but, man, he's going nicely right now. 4.5 sacks going back to Kansas City. In closing, I call Vikings games with a player with whom you used to play. I'm talking about Greg Coleman, the punter from Florida A&M. Did you know Greg, or did you not talk to him because he was a punter?
I didn't talk to him much because he's a punter. When you see Greg, and I know Greg Coleman very well, but when you see him, you tell him it's going to be a misunderstanding when he sees me.
I didn't talk to him until he told me Vince Coleman was his cousin. Then I'm like, hey, can I get some of that Cardinals memorabilia?
Yeah, Greg was his nickname on the team was Touch because he was, he came from Cleveland and he was notorious for that what they call the coffin corner kick.
Yeah, Coleman corner.
Where they would drop it right there on the corner of the end zone and hit pylons and pin the guy down in a in their side of the field. And he was very, very, very good at that. And but I've known Greg for as long as I've been associated with the Vikings. So it's been over, 27, 28 years?
Yeah. Chris, 30 seconds, you get it all. What does getting into the Hall of Fame mean to you? It's looking back at the past performances and some players who are in there now, it's rather inexplicable that you have not been invited.
Well, when it happens, it'll be a great day. I always say that, I don't control this. That is controlled by the, a governing body of 44 selectors. And, whatever they choose, whoever they choose to put in, that's who's going to go in. I was, being a finalist, and you start looking at numbers, and you realize that numbers have very little to do with it. It's who they want to put in at that time. So, if it works out, that's great. If it doesn't, c'est la vie. I'll still be a part of history. How do you have a guy who's third in the history of the league not in the Hall of Fame?
How about that? Chris, you're fantastic, and you had a wonderful run. Bless you, my friend. Enjoy the festivities in late October against Green Bay, and hopefully you bring us some luck, okay?
I sure do hope so. I would love to see a win.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
That's Chris Dolman on Vikings Live at Winter Park. For more on the Vikings and the Kansas City Chiefs, we welcome into the conversation our dear friend Mike Wabshaw, our beloved Wabby from Vikings.com. Yeah, Wabby, it's always nice being joined by Chris Dolman. And, I'm certainly not going to put Jared Allen at this stage of his career on the plane of a guy who joins the Ring of Honor against the Green Bay Packers later in October and hopefully the Hall of Fame one day. But if Jared keeps having games like he had against the Detroit Lions, then he certainly will join that plateau.
Yeah, Jared is almost approaching that plateau. He's had a very long, distinguished career. Chris Dolman, of course, 150 and a half sacks.
Jeez.
So we're not going to put Jared there yet, but he's certainly on the way, and I think Matthew Stafford would say he's certainly on the way. Matthew Stafford got to know Jared pretty well last weekend.
Hey, be sure to join yours truly and Paul Charchian tomorrow from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Lakeville for a Friday football feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com and on the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. Once again, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com.
Vikings.com in the latter stages of Vikings Live at Winter Park from Winter Park and the Sports Authority studios. We're handicapping and analyzing the matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. If you were to identify whether they are obvious or not, a couple of things that have to take place in this Chiefs game for our favorite team to win, what would they be?
I think most importantly, we want to get this offense going, the passing game going, and you got to cover up Tom Bahaly. He's an outside linebacker in the Chiefs 3-4 defense, an excellent pass rusher. He's coming at the quarterback every time he drops back to pass. He's not a guy who's going to drop back into coverage very much. The Vikings have to cover him up. Now, the challenge is not only Bahaly and how skilled he is, it's that crowd at Arrowhead Stadium. And we all know how, when it's loud, it's hard for a left tackle to get off on the ball at the same time as the defensive end. It's a decided advantage for the defense in an environment like Arrowhead Stadium. The Vikings have to figure out how to cover him up. On the other side of the ball, when we're guarding Kansas City's offense, I think you cannot let Dwayne Bowe ruin this game for you.
Right.
He's really, with Jamal Charles out, and all apologies go to Dexter McCluster on this, but
he's fast.
He is. And with how the Vikings played running backs, such as in San Diego, those running backs got out and really gouged us. Javid Best did okay coming out of the backfield. We got to watch out for McCluster. But really, I think it's about Dwayne Bowe, and you cannot let him ruin the game.
Great take, because LeGarrette Blount, you know, as the defense got tired for the Vikings, he had a couple of rushing touchdowns. You reference Ryan Matthews and Mike Tolbert. They had 211 combo yards, you know, receiving and running yards against the Vikings. And then Javid Best, even though Detroit runs as almost a mirage, you know, trying to show you, okay, we're just going to put this in because that's how they taught football. You're supposed to run every so often, but they want to pass. And this game is antithetical to the Lions and probably the Chargers game in that I'm sure Todd Haley, the coach of the Chiefs, I mean, he cut his teeth with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, and I'm sure he wants to pass, but his quarterback, Matt Cassel, right now, coming off a better game against San Diego, but his yards per attempt of 5 and change, it's second worst in the NFL.
Yeah, and he's had, I think, one 250-yard game since week 10 of last year. It's just not been a prolific attack, and I think that goes back to Jamal Charles, and he is a great running back, and they lost him in Detroit on their first series of the game against the Lions, and it was a blowout. Detroit had their way with Kansas City, and in that first series against the Lions, Kansas City was picking up chunks of yardage, a couple of 24-yard gains, and Jamal Charles was one of those gains. And when he's in the game, Kansas City's offense is so fast, and without him, Kansas City becomes a little bit more one-dimensional. That's a huge threat that's taken away. Teams can hone in a little bit more on Matt Cassel, and I think he's a guy that you can rattle. And with, you know, they went 7-1 at home last year. They made the playoffs and they had a really nice season. And Matt Cassel had a terrific touchdown to interception ratio. But that was with Jamal Charles, and he's not there anymore. The pressure is on Matt Cassel to really be a field general for the Chiefs offense. And I'm not convinced yet that he can do it. And that's really one spot the Vikings defense has to attack.
A couple of quickies to close here with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. You know, and you mentioned the Jamal Charles element for Kansas City. They do have some speed. I mean, Thomas Jones, their veteran running back, he's not fast, but he's crafty. Dexter McCluster is very fast. Javier Arenas, who plays corner and returns kicks, he's very fast. Tom Bahali's fast. Derek Johnson's fast. They have some speed at the cornerback situation too. And you know, if you look at Week One, people looked at the Buffalo Bills coming into Arrowhead and winning by a million points, and it turns out Kansas City is winless into this game. But Kansas City's also looking at it like, yeah, but we've lost to two teams that are undefeated, and the Chargers, a 2-1 team, their only loss is at Gillette. So Kansas City's schedule has been very tough early, Wabi.
Yeah, both these teams have played very, very solid opponents, teams that made the playoffs last year, teams that have good records this year. And I mean, look, the bottom line is you got two 0-3 teams who are coming into this game.
Yep.
And as bad as 0-3 is, 0-4 is that much worse, and it's going to be a scrappy game. It's going to be a physical game, and whoever sets the tone early is going to be at a huge advantage. And for the Vikings to set the tone early, they got to get the running game going.
45 seconds, you get it all. What can people find at Vikings.com right now?
Well, we know, all week we just try and be the fans' eye on the team. We stream our press conferences every week, head coach and coordinators and the quarterback. We have live chats during games so fans can log onto the website during the game and have a chat with us. We always follow the Vikings community outreach activities and do videos on that. And you and I do a Keys to the Game every week. So we really just try and be the fans' eye on the team, capitalize on the exclusive access that head coach Leslie Frazier gives us every week.
Thank you, Mike. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy the game.
All right. Can't wait.
Mike Wobshaw, follow him with video and his writing work at Vikings.com. Live at Winter Park is provided by Sports Authority, and it's brought to you also by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. We thank Ryan Donaldson, Joe Nelson, Paul Lambert, Jay Nelson, and everybody else with the Minnesota Vikings and the flagship KFAN for assisting us with Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, Vikings and Chiefs, this weekend at noon, all throughout the Minnesota Vikings radio network.
Some people spend their Tuesdays coaching their boys' peewee football team. Others spend Thursdays competing in a recreational